Book publishers turn out in force each spring for Book Expo America, the industry's largest trade show in the United States. But it's the authors who draw the crowds. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. From Angelica Houston to Dick Cavett, Tavis Smiley to Lena Dunham, BEA puts authors on stage to bare their souls and in booths to sign, sign, sign. With the preview of all the Book Expo programming headed to the Jacob Javits Center in New York City from May 29th through the 31st, Steve Rosato, BEA Event Director, joins me now. And Steve, welcome back to Beyond the Book.
Chris, thanks so much for having me. I really enjoy it.
Well, we look forward to chatting with you because this is an annual ritual, BEA itself, and our own little special preview. There are some new things coming to Book Expo you'll tell us about, I'm sure, as well as plenty of returning favorites. So let's get down to things. Well, what is new at Book Expo this year?
There's actually an awful lot that's new this year. One of the great things that we're doing this year is the BEA Startup Challenge, partnering with a digital company called Librify, and it's happening in sort of two parts. We've gone out and recruited a number, I think we're going to end up with 20 startup companies that have products that are related to the publishing space and who typically wouldn't either be at BEA or be ready to exhibit. So we gave them a really inexpensive option for participating in the show, and then they're going to participate in a sort of Shark Tank-like event on Thursday at BEA where they're going to be pitching for some angel investor money.
That sounds very exciting, and I think really does kind of point to where the book business is at this moment. Innovation is a key word in people's vocabulary.
It definitely gives them a toehold in BEA where they might not have necessarily had that before, but it also puts a spotlight on them as well as the technology and the things they're working on. And you get these people who are not traditional publishing people who are looking at it in a very different way, and then they get the opportunity to present it to people who are going to really ask the tough questions because they're trying to, whether they're going to invest their money or not in these companies if they have a valid technology. So it adds a really dynamic element that's been missing at BEA, or at least we haven't had it in the past, and it really gives them a spotlight as well, so it gives a chance to inject some technology and energy and new thinking into the industry.
Right, and so there's plenty of that going on, but really, frankly, the books are what count, and it's the authors who write all those books, and so authors really are at the center of what you do there, and there's an expanded author stages program this year.
That is correct. I'm always blown away by the people who get submitted and the number of authors we have. And this year, I guess we'll jump into it in a little bit, the BookCon element and bringing consumers, for whatever reason, that we have even more. I think we had a little bit more than 600 last year, and so far this year, we always get a lot of last-minute folks. We have 750 authors appearing at the show this year between the official programs and authors appearing in booths. So we're really excited. It's a really terrific list. There's a lot of celebrity sorts, but there's also a lot of literary folks, a lot of up-and-coming and debut stuff. So it really, if you like reading, there's a little bit of something for everyone.
Indeed. And you know, you mentioned the celebrities. We should go into it because it's always fun to talk about some of the people who do put pen to paper or tap away on their keyboards and manage to come up with a book. So we've got Angelica Houston, Dick Cavett, Tavis Smiley, a whole raft of very well-regarded people.
Sure. And I think it's a really neat sort of Broadway twist because two of the Author Breakfast hosts are going to be Neil Patrick Harris and Alan Cumming, who are both, you know, right now in huge Broadway productions and, you know, have books coming out, and they're just huge stars on their own. And I think they're real smart people too, and I think they take the book publishing very seriously. It's not just something that they're necessarily dabbling in.
Right. Well, really creative folks with a lot to say. And you mentioned as well that there are 750 authors altogether, and the author stages themselves. Just to give people briefly a sense of the landscape, if you will, at the Javits Center. It's an enormous venue there in New York City, a huge conference center. And I believe now, in addition to what had been three author stages, there's a fourth author stage joining that group.
That is correct. It becomes a little easier to navigate if you think about it sort of a little bit directionally. We have the uptown and downtown stages, which are sort of at the opposite ends of the Javits Center. And those are really purely focused on author events and things around, you know, getting interaction with authors. Some of the buzz panels that we have during the course of the show. The authors will come up and be on the author stages appearing. So it's not just the editors. You actually get a chance to meet and talk to the authors about the books that are usually one of the marquee events at the show anyway. We also have the Midtown stage, which is located in the digital zone. And that tends to be a lot more focused on practical industry stuff and sort of education from a lot of the service providers that are in the digital zone are sitting there doing demonstrations. And that is something that is always consistently pretty busy because people, you know, exhibitors can like sneak away from their booth, go a few aisles over, sit down and find out about some vendors they might be interested in a quick, you know, 20, 30 minute presentation, head back to their booth. So that's always been a really nice part of the show that keeps the exhibitors engaged without getting them off the too far from the show floor. And one of the other new things I haven't talked about yet is the Global Market Forum this year is focused on books and translation. And to pair up and support that, we have a new pavilion on the show floor called Translation Market, which are featuring publishers who do works in translation or associations and foundations that do translation grants. And there's a stage associated with that, and they're going to be presenting throughout BEA. So we have on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we're going to have programming and events in a dedicated lounge. It's very much a niche audience, but it's a very passionate group. And again, it gives people who have been at BEA sort of their own spotlight, their own platform, and a place to sort of gather, exchange information, network, and produce education there too.
Right. Well, what's interesting about the translation market and the opportunities there for book publishers, it's all been opened up by the digital revolution, Steve. And of course, digital is a significant part of what BEA is doing this year, 2014. As you say, there's a digital zone for the show, and there's a whole series of programs under the umbrella of digital BEA, including the conference for the IDPF.
Correct. IDPF also doing something very new and innovative this year. They are partnering with the Book Industry Study Group, and their conference is going from essentially a one day to like a day and a half. And they married up the Book Industry Study Group's Making Information Pay, which will take place half a day on Thursday, May 29th. But the all-day program, the Digital Book Program 2014 that the IDPF presents every year, which has just gotten bigger and bigger, will, of course, be taking place at Javits. They have been outstanding partners, really servicing a great need for their members, but also for the BEA constituents. And the BEA has, you know, we don't want to put on programming that would happen at the same time, so we work hand in hand with them to make sure we're covering different topics. I know we're doing some stuff on metadata. There's a lot of interest around the Walter Isaacson book that he's doing that was sort of crowdsourced. It was great to be able to work hand in hand with IDPF, have all their expertise, and have theirs in a very cohesive format presented one way. And then we have the Book Expo stuff that gives publishers the opportunity where at BEA to engage and get a lot of education that will hopefully benefit their staffs.
Indeed. And you know, the other group that is going to be a significant part of BEA this year, we've talked about publishers and vendors and authors. You're going to have readers. And this is something that you've been sort of moving in that direction for a couple of years. Last year, you called them Power Readers. It was a special opportunity for readers to come in and see the show themselves. But for 2014, there's a new element to BEA that's called BookCon. So tell us a bit about that.
We are really excited. I mean, to be candid, in hindsight being 2020, we're looking at it. We knew that the readers that came to the show had an overwhelmingly positive experience. I think our satisfaction scores were somewhere around 85% with them. But we're looking at trying how we're going to grow it. And even if we were doubling it, the number, we didn't think it was going to be a meaningful number for either, you know, publishers or as an event to really engage readers in a big way and make news and attract people who might not already be reading books. And we were sitting here internally realizing, well, we have this group of shows that like our New York Comic Con and our Penny Arcade shows, a packed show that draw literally, you know, tens of thousands, if not 100,000 consumers. So we partnered with them to talk through what we were doing, and we came up with the concept of doing BookCon. One of the other drivers in that for us was we found that there was a pretty even split for us at Book Expo, the people who were interested in consumers and those who weren't. So what this allowed us to do is really serve both those interests even better because we separated the BookCon piece. So it's a dedicated part of the show floor. So if you want to be a publisher and you want to engage with consumers, you have the space to do it. It won't impact the rest of BEA for you. And if you're a publisher or service provider doesn't have an interest in interacting with consumers, then you're on the BEA side of the show floor and nothing has changed for you. BEA remains intact. You get all the value you normally get. And the real driver behind this, though, was to create a fan experience. I think we were probably playing it a little bit safe and not trying to offend people too much. And we were rebuilding this whole thing and relaunching this BookCon. We wanted to create an experience that was built around the fan first and not trying not to offend people so much on the exhibit side. And we've come up with a really, really compelling event. And, you know, we promised somewhere around like 7,500 to 8,000 people at the show, which is, you know, four times what we had last year. And we're tracking really, really well. And actually, at this point, worried about maybe perhaps having to put a cap on it. And we might even sell out.
Well, that's terrific. And, you know, I'll look forward to checking it out myself. It's coming to the show on the final day of the program on Saturday, May 31st. And what you were describing there is, again, a neat window into the challenges of the book industry, a business that had been throughout most of its life a B2B business, business to business, and now is, you know, direct selling to the consumer, B2C. So by giving the publishing participants a chance to decide which they want to be or both is really reflecting of the decisions they're facing themselves.
Well, it gives them a real efficient way to do it. And really, I mean, they're not having to build a new booth and send new staff. It's all there at their hands. So if they want to engage, it is there for them. And it's, you know, almost turnkey. Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to think about what they're doing, the giveaways they have. We've sent out some instructions to folks that we've gleaned from our pop shows, like, here's the way you want to deal with fans at a show in a way that's going to have value for the publisher. So long term, the idea is we didn't want to be like a book festival. I mean, book festivals are great and they're, you know, hugely popular, and you do get, like, at Miami or LA, you know, more than 100,000 people, but you're sort of preaching to the converted there. This is trying to attract a wider audience of people who are interested in maybe pop culture. It may be big fans of specific books, but expose them to a lot more. And it's trying to get people who were not going to necessarily buy a book to start buying books or be interested in other authors that they hadn't heard of before.
Well, indeed. And a nice preview there from Steve Rosato, the event director for Book Expo. What's new and what's familiar at Book Expo 2014. Steve Rosato, thanks for joining us on Beyond the Book.
Chris, that was great. I enjoyed it a lot. I will look forward to seeing you in New York. And anyone else that's listening, please stop and say hello.
Okay, indeed. Thank you, Steve. Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow us on Twitter, find Beyond the Book on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Chris Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.